time for Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
Rattler awaits the shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards. I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
He throws shoot.
Clark in a straight check.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. Ping, Pegues.
To the sideline, caught first down.
Woo! What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, then Chase Hunter, 2 seconds, one launches a three. Good if it goes, it does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer sends Hunts into the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
We welcome you in, everybody, to the Wednesday edition of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt right here on 105.5-97.5 The Roar on a Wednesday. Wednesday, December 3rd, 2025. We are glad to have you with us right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines and Adams & Co. Roofing text line will be open throughout the course of the program today. We would love for you to check in and join us and contribute to the program. Engagement's been great this week. Obviously, it's a big day in the recruiting world for Clemson football. We're going to be carrying a press conference at 11 a.m. and just kind of giving you guys the run of the mill with recruiting in relation to Clemson football. Really excited to cover that throughout the course of the program today. But obviously, if you know me, that's not my priority today. My priority is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Because Brad Brownell and the boys are on the road. ACC-SEC challenge in which the ACC has the lead. I told y'all this league is back, man. I'm expecting 9 or 10 bids this year. Shout out to Syracuse for pulling through with a big one last night. And shout out to Miami for going on the road and getting a big one last night. The Atlantic Coast Conference leads 4-3 as of right now in the ACC-SEC challenge. And for those who remember back to last year, that is already more wins on the resume for the ACC than they had in the entirety of the challenge last year. So we'll be breaking that down and more. We'll be giving an in-depth game preview of Clemson and Alabama, the Tigers and the Crimson Tide, Brad Brownell versus Nate Oates, a matchup that, you know, honestly, obviously, it goes without saying, I wish went differently in the Elite Eight a couple years back, but every time these two teams have clashed in their respective careers, Oates and Brownell both just play this chess match that I think is unbelievably fun to watch. So I'll tell you why I think Clemson actually poses some big-time matchup problems for Alabama, and we'll get into that game preview. And then the women are on the road as well, you know, on Thursday. So we leave today with the women. Kwok and I are actually going to be able to go to the men's game in Tuscaloosa, which we're really excited for. And watch out on social media later today because Kwok and I are going to do a game preview video live from Tuscaloosa prior to the game. So really excited for everything going on in the world of basketball. Obviously, with it being signing day and all the pleasantries that come with that in the world of football, a lot of Clemson discourse on the program today, a lot of college hoops talk, and a lot of college football talk as well. 654-ROAR if you want to get in with us. John, hope you enjoyed your Tuesday. Excited to have you here on a Wednesday, and should be a fun one today.
Should be a fun one. Looking forward to hearing Coach Sweeney at 11 o'clock talk about this signing class, to actually hear for the first time he gets to reference these players by name and you know, really break down their potential impact here with the Tigers in 2026. So very excited about having that. It should be a good show today. I've got a question for you to start things off.
Okay.
Is Penn State ever going to hire a football coach?
You see, this is a truly interesting dynamic, and I'm glad you asked this. What in the world's going on up in Happy Valley right now? Because, well, like, am I crazy? I'm just going to completely drop a bomb to start the show. I am starting to believe that there is a reality in which they might have to settle slash punt for a Gruden type of guy that is not in coaching, that's coming out of retirement to come back into coaching, because it feels like nobody's going to take this job.
Yes. Many textures got in. Right,
it is 6-3, not 4-3. It's 6-3. Yes, that's my bad.
6-3. We got it here. Well, I don't know if that's going to be in the cards, because you do have Terry Smith, who is sitting there ready to take this job whenever it is formally offered to him. But, you know, yesterday it was reported that Kalani Sitake, the BYU head coach, was going to be named the next head coach at Penn State after BYU's game in the Big 12 championship game. Well, they locked that deal in place yesterday. Kalani Sitake got an extension late last night from BYU, so he will not be going anywhere. So I really do not know, outside of Terry Smith, what the options are here. Bob Chesney from JMU, well, he's now at UCLA. I know there was maybe some hope that Auburn was going to beat Bama, that they could maybe make a run at Kalen DeBoer. That clearly is not going to come to fruition. And so I'm finding it interesting that two of the schools that got to the earliest jumps in firing their coaches, Arkansas and Penn State, Penn State can't land anybody, and Arkansas fans are furious with the hiring of Ryan Silverfield.
Yeah,
you don't have to sprint to fire these guys, because now it's kind of like we've joked about with recruiting, that you're using the first commitment as, all right, this is where the negotiations start. And I think Penn State's been played by a lot of people in this process.
There's a couple names that people are getting in on the Adams Co. Roofing text line with. And yes, to confirm, 6-3 ACC over SEC. Thank you for getting in and correcting me. I was looking at the Duke-Florida score, and Duke is ranked number 4 in the country and just had a mental error there. So that's my bad. But yes, 6 wins for the ACC. Duke, Syracuse, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Miami, and Notre Dame all come away winners last night in the ACC-SEC Challenge. We'll break into that a little bit later in the program when we shift more to hoops. On the Penn State coaching search front, Texter gets in with something that I just keep rapping back to. How loud is James Franklin laughing right now? And I will say this. I understand both sides of the equation here, okay? I think it's fair to assess the James Franklin tenure at Penn State and say that the ceiling had been reached and that a move needed to be made for the sanity of their fan base and for their program. That is not to say that I don't believe James Franklin would be a very good coach. I said this on the way out the door. James Franklin's a great coach, and Virginia Tech made a great hire. Sometimes things run its course at programs. It is what it is. Great coaches get fired. I watched my team fire Andy Reid. We look like dum-dums for that. He's built a dynasty in Kansas City. But you know what? It had ran its course in Philadelphia. He wasn't getting along with the ownership anymore. He wasn't aligned with the front office and what the vision was, and it was time to part ways. Was it a great decision looking back at it in hindsight? No, it probably wasn't. But it ended up working out for the Eagles, and it ended up working out for the Chiefs. I kind of view this as something similar, but here is the issue that I have with how Penn State handled the situation. If you are going to fire a coach the caliber of James Franklin, you better have a replacement lined up. And you better have a quality replacement lined up. And that's what we talked about in real time, was that, okay, if you're making this move, that is signifying to the rest of the coaching carousel and the rest of the coaching market that you are the 1A job and you want first dibs at whoever is going to become available. So I thought from that perspective, Penn State was in a really, really good position to potentially hire whoever they wanted from this coaching carousel. That is not the way things have worked out in the slightest, John. And now, for whatever reason, they were the first team to fire their coach. They're going to be the last team to hire their coach, it looks like. And they're caught in this weird middle ground where a lot of the premier candidates have already been poached by the SEC. So that brings a couple different questions to me. Number one, are we overrating the value of the Penn State job because of what James Franklin accomplished in the last 3 years? Number two, how attractive actually is that job to outside candidates? And then number three, where do they go from this point?
One, I still think they had to do it. It was becoming an untenable situation, but they didn't have a plan.
Agree.
You know, two things can be true. It was right for Penn State to move on from him, and Penn State has absolutely botched this. Because I don't think Pat Kraft had a plan other than Matt Rhule. And it's showing that way. And I also think, you know, not being all that prepared just goes to show that, like, man, agents and coaches have used this job to their advantage. Look at all the extensions that have been had. Eli Drinkwitz, Clark Lee, Kurt Cignetti, just to name a few. A lot of people have gotten very rich off of this. And it's just kind of surprising. Because I don't think that this job has been... It's not as good as people think. Now, man, there's a ton of money. It's in one of the Power 2 leagues, and it puts 100-something thousand people in the stadium every single Saturday. This is a very attractive job. I just think Pat Kraft has very much mismanaged the search.
Yeah, this has been a really disappointing coaching search from Pat Kraft, and now we're in this situation where it screams desperation if you're Penn State. And the worst part to be in if you're Penn State, everybody around the country knows you're desperate. So when you do start to enter negotiations with whoever your next hypothetical coach is going to be, who has the leverage in that situation? Not Penn State. Penn State's leverage has vanished into thin air as far as I'm concerned. Essentially, whoever they want their target to be at this point can walk into the office of Pat Kraft with their demands, and if they're not met, guess what? You're without a coach, buddy. I know somebody's got to take the job eventually, but we're on National Signing Day and you don't have a coach. Disaster and failure from the administration up in Happy Valley.
Yes, but it's also not as big of an indictment as it would have been several years ago to not have a coach on National Signing Day. Because, I mean, the Penn State class has been absolutely decimated. They have four commits going into today. I believe that their class is, last I have seen, according to the composite, somewhere in the 130s. Oof. Between 125 and 140, somewhere in there, depending on the service behind a lot of FCS schools. And that's a volume thing, right? Like, they have four commits going up against some FCS and low-level FBS full classes. But the thing is, it's more about, can you get something in the works here over the next week to 10 days? Because you got to have a staff in place for January 2nd when the transfer portal opens. Like, yes, it's not good to not have a coach today. It's not good. But with the February signing window and with the transfer portal, it's not as much of a, this is going to absolutely crater your program as it would have been a few years ago.
You can hit the get right fast button quicker than you can, you know, 5 years ago.
If this was happening like before COVID, I don't know what Penn State does.
This would be like the death of a program.
Correct.
Before COVID.
Yeah, because you just, how are you going to field it and fund a team?
You're punting a year, essentially.
It would be very, I mean, Penn State can just go absolutely load this thing up in the portal, you know, here next month.
Chad the mailman says, on my way to Happy Valley, would you like to be on my staff? It depends on the position, man. Let me know. Let me know. Another texter
says, are you getting Ben Johnson to come take that job, Chad? I mean, what are we doing here?
Another texter gets in and says, does Brent Key have a shot at this now? I don't think Brent Key would even pick up the phone. If you want me to be honest with you, is Penn State a better job than what Georgia Tech is right now?
Yes.
Objectively, yes. But Brent Key is a Georgia Tech alum. There is more money in Happy Valley, but what's preventing Georgia Tech from just matching a hypothetical offer? You know what I mean?
The TV contract that they get from the ACC versus what Penn State gets from the Big Ten, they get double the money every year. Like, they have more money in which to play with. Like, yes, the alma mater thing is going to be tough to pull him away from there. I don't think that they do it. But there are certain, especially when the AD that hired Brent Key is the AD at Michigan State now. Like, he has a different boss than the one that he signed up for. If you could double your salary somewhere else, and also if you think about what's the future of the sport look like in a couple of years, you don't have to worry about what the future of the sport is if you're the head coach at Penn State.
Yeah,
you don't have to care about the future of the sport. If you're at Georgia Tech, you have to be terrified of the future of the sport. You just sold out a home game against your arch rival for $10 million so you could buy players. Penn State, you don't have to worry about any of that nonsense. Like, I know he said the quote, you cut him open, man, he bleeds gold. And he has a degree from Georgia Tech. I'm not trying to take anything away from that, but I don't think it is as, like, yes, I think Georgia Tech could match the contract offer. But can Georgia Tech match the rev share? Can Georgia Tech match NIL? Can Georgia Tech match, I mean, almost double the stadium capacity that they have at Penn State, while also guaranteeing you a spot if you are there past the length of your contract? I listen, I know his love for Tech is strong, and I don't think he does it. But Penn State is a much, much better job than Georgia Tech, even if Georgia Tech can match his salary. There's also the cost of living in state college is a lot lower than Atlanta, Georgia.
I don't disagree with a lot of that. I just don't. If he's going to jump ship, I don't think it's going to be for Penn State, if that makes sense. Like, I think
that part makes sense.
There might be a debt. Like, what if DeBoer dips for Penn State and Alabama comes knocking for Brent Key? Different conversation. That's a different type of knock. Like, I think it would take something like that from a pedigree perspective to pry him away from Atlanta. I don't know where Penn State goes from here. I'm sure Brent Key gets a call. I think they'd be dumb to not. Like, you guys have listened to my show since
they've already called. Yeah,
since day one. Like, you know I love Brent Key. I think Georgia Tech's a program on the rise in large part because of what he's done. Recruiting uptick, portal uptick, development uptick. They have one of the best coordinators in the country on the offensive side of the ball. They just won 9 games, took a next, you know, step from a domino perspective for the ascension of their program. And Penn State is irrefutably the better job for reasons that John outlined. It's just, is that going to be the needle mover that pulls him away from his alma mater? I don't know. And as John also said, I think they probably have already called. I'm worried about Penn State. I don't know who wants to take this job at this point. There might be something that we're missing here. Coaches talk, and coaches are very well connected within this industry. I just wonder if there's something going on behind closed doors related to this job that we're missing. That's where my brain goes, because I think we're missing something here. And I don't know if we'll ever know what it is, being members of the public. But the coaching network is very, very connected. And if a lot of people have interviewed and inquired about this job and nobody wants to take it, that makes me think that something's going on behind closed doors that we don't realize, whether that's administration, whether that's maybe the money isn't as great as it's made out to be. I don't know what it could be, but it's a mess right now in Happy Valley. I know that much at minimum. Let's take a quick break here on the program. We'll talk a little bit more Penn State coaching search on the other side. We'll talk about Satake getting the re-up at BYU because that's a pretty big deal. And eventually we'll shift gears to hoops, recap the ACC-SEC challenge from last night, start to preview some games tonight, including the Clemson versus Bama matchup out in Tuscaloosa. Quick break here with that. And John on the Roar.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in blown-in insulation. Blown-in insulation provides great improvements to your home's efficiency and comfort while being a great cost-effective option. We also install solar attic fans for temperature and humidity control, reducing your attic temp from 150 to 110 degrees, protecting your home. Right now, you can receive up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. Hurry, call Koala Insulation at 864-867-1779 today.
How many times have you told yourself, I'll get that weight loss journey started after the holidays? How many times have you actually done it? Well, everyone says they're going to start after the holidays. It doesn't get done. And that's why PhD Weight Loss is making it easy to start now, before the new year, with 2 free weeks added to your program. That's a 2-week head start, so you're not rolling into January feeling behind. I joined PhD Weight Loss when I was at the busiest season of my year, and I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks, and the transition was much smoother and much better for me than I could have ever imagined. PhD's metabolic reset system taught me to burn fat first without drug starvation diets or endless workouts, and they can do the same for you. When you mention 2 weeks on the phone, they'll waive your consultation fee and pay for the cost of your food during the program. There's no reason to repeat your past mistakes. Call PhD today and start 2026 already ahead at 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900, or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Hello, Medicare recipients and Roar listeners. Gary Mahaffey here with Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Are you turning 65 soon? We can help. Have you reached your 25th month on Social Security disability and received notice your Medicare will begin soon? We can help. You have both Medicare and Medicaid or low-income subsidy and have just been notified that your status has changed. We can help. Have you recently moved or will be moving soon out of your Medicare service area? We can help. You have a chronic condition of the heart and or diabetes? We can help. If any of these apply to your current circumstances, please give me a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484, and we will help you with your issue.
Do you need to reboot your style? If your work boots kick the bucket, then get to Harrison. We're the boot capital of the world with more in-stock boots than anyone. work boots, western boots, hiking boots, rain boots, and plenty of wow boots. Job site, rodeo, tailgate, honky-tonk, Harrison's has boots for all walks of life. But if you need to put your best foot forward, stop by Harrison, the home of work, western, and wow! Come see us in Malden and Spartanburg or shop online at harrisonsusa.com. Boots you're after, Harrison's has them.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did, but I don't feel like myself.
What have you been eating?
I had turkey at my in-laws, turkey at my parents, had a turkey casserole this morning.
It's a clear-cut case of turkey-itis. I'm going to write a prescription right now for a double chili cheese aplenty from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In.
Next patient.
The Beacon Drive-In, where the food is always good since 1946.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days, just in time for the holidays. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com, and apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantyconfixit.com.
It's time to kick off the perfect tailgate and take your team to Ingles. Chips and guac made fresh in store every day. The best meat in town packaged fresh every day. And smiling faces giving you their best every day. Let's be real. In the South, football season is our favorite season of the year. There's a lot to smile about, especially with deals like these. Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Where you can get the holiday season, bowl season, and basketball season all in one place. 105.5 and 97.5.
Merry Christmas.
We are The Roar.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Folks, cold weather season. Enjoy the cozy nights. Make the most of this winter with the efficient and reliable choice of natural gas. Fort Hill Natural Gas has you covered with everything that you need. Whether it's keeping your home warm, heating your water, firing up the grill, natural gas is clean, it's cost-effective, it's always there when you need it. During the cold weather months, let Fort Hill Natural Gas keep your family comfortable and your energy bills low. Visit FHNGA.com today. That is FHNGA.com today to score big on some savings. 654-ROAR if you want to get in. We're going to wrap the Penn State talk in this segment. We're going to shift gears to some college hoops, maybe talk some NFL as well. So odds for coaching searches, I think, need to be taken with a grain of salt, right? Because it's really just like these gambling sites trying to get in front of the reporters, or if the reporters will put out something that's a rumor, then they adjust based off of what's happening. So I don't think that that's the end-all be-all. Like, we had a couple texts about the odds, and we could go down that route. For me personally, I don't know how much that actually matters in this.
Well, currently, Bob Chesney still has odds.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Right. Like he's accepted another job.
At UCLA, yeah. Correct. So, like, that's not going to happen.
Is Jeff Brohm a realistic candidate that you would consider for this?
Yes. Absolutely yes. Especially when quarterback has been the one thing that has not been figured out at Penn State in a long time. I mean, that some would say, I would tend to agree with them, that that was probably the position that held the James Franklin era back, was that Drew Aller never turned into the five-star, that Sean Clifford was the same player for 6 years. yeah, I would be all over Jeff Brohm if I'm Penn State.
The man can coach an offense, and the man can develop a quarterback.
He rolls out a 3,000-yard passer like it's nothing. And the way that his offense has run the ball with the personnel you already have, I think they would be nuts if they hadn't already inquired about him. The way that this search has gone, I would be shocked if there hadn't been, you know, feelers already put out there for him. I think that is somebody who is not taking a job, who would make sense for what Penn State needs.
So apparently there was an inquiry for Josh Heupel. I think Josh Heupel gave one of the dumbest quotes in the history of collegiate athletics regarding this coaching opening. I haven't hated a quote like this in a long time because I think he's just incorrect and wrong, and I like Josh Heupel, so this was a little off-putting. Did you see this, John? He was asked about the Penn State job vacancy, and his quote was, "I wouldn't want low expectations. That's part of why I want to be here. We'll win big." Josh, can I remind you that you took a job over from a 3-7 Jeremy Pruitt at a middle-of-the-pack SEC school that had not won 10 games since 2007 prior to your arrival, and Penn State just fired a coach that won 11, 10, and 13 games in back-to-back-to-back seasons, and he got the can. Am I missing something here?
Like, he's saying something to galvanize his fan base and the check writers at his school.
Yeah, this feels baity.
You never say, you're never going to hear a coach who chooses to stay at a job versus taking another one come out and say that the job they turned down is better than the one that they are keeping.
100%.
That is horrible business and fundraising. Like, if Josh Heupel said anything else, I would have been shocked. Of course, it's... We're all about, like, oh, I'm in this big league, we have to put down the other. Yeah. I'm not surprised in the slightest by that.
I was just really off.
Not surprised by the slightest by that. I mean, yeah, he's got to say what makes Tennessee fans feel good. Really quick, we do have some breaking news with Clemson football.
Oh?
They just got a flip. Michael Foster, the East Carolina commit from Fort Mill, has flipped and is now signed as a member of the Clemson football class for 2026.
Oh, wow, that's nice. Good get for Clemson. So Michael Foster going to be added to the program. And yeah, that's nice.
As of 2 minutes ago.
His quote, "I chose Clemson because from the start of my football journey, it was the goal I set for myself. It's been my dream school for a long time. After talking with the coaches, I know this is a program where I can be developed and become the player I'm meant to be, one with a future in the NFL," says the D-end from Charlotte. They've got a nice little highlight package at Clemson FB on Twitter as well if you want to go check it out. So, yeah, flip season. Flip season's
and
among
us. And every recruit, mind you, if you follow Clemson football on socials, you are getting little highlights of every player as they come through as they are putting them out there.
Yeah, so that's nice. It's a nice little flip for the Tigers right there. But, yeah, I didn't like that quote from Heupel. I'm not going to sit here and be ignorant, and like John said, and I understand, but you could have played about 80 different angles in that situation. I don't know if low expectations was the angle I would have played. I mean, brother, you took over a 3-win program, and they just fired a coach that won 13 games and went to the national semifinals. Number one, you've never won a playoff game. James Franklin just did. Number two, you've never gone to a conference championship game. James Franklin just did. So you can talk the talk about winning big all you want to talk the talk. Let's see it. Let's see it would be my message to Josh Heupel.
He did get to the playoff last year.
He did get to the playoff. This year, they beat zero Power 4 teams with an above 500 record. And they're boasting a fraudulent 8-4 because they beat Syracuse, East Tennessee State, UAB, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Kentucky, New Mexico State, and Florida. They played four teams with a pulse all year and got pulverized by three of them. I lost some respect for Heupel after that. I get what he's doing, and I don't disagree with your perspective, which is you're obviously not going to go gas up a job that you declined because you want to respect the school and the job that you're at. But low expectations is just ignorant and wrong. Like, that is just objectively point-blank wrong.
But it's also part of the SEC talking points where every league and everything else is inferior to the product that we put out there.
That's true.
What I mean? Like, it's just like it's just part of the bit. To me, like, I just didn't take it as maybe as seriously as that because I truly believe it was just he's pandering, and to me that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not an easy program to root for in general. And after that, I don't know.
No, that part is fair.
I don't know how I feel about all that with Heupel at Tennessee. We'll see. I'm interested to see who's playing quarterback there next year. I think that's one of the more fascinating things, because I do think Josh Heupel can coach an offense up there with the best in the country. And like I said, I like Heupel. I think Heupel's a good coach. I don't know. Let's get Delvin in here, 654 Roar. Delvin, good to hear from you. Appreciate you checking in.
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
From what I hear, all the players are saying, telling Pat Kraft, your coach is upstairs. They're talking about Terry Smith. They want Terry Smith, but I agree with you. I don't like to agree with the players say sometimes. They don't know. But it's funny, but I'll go after Matt Campbell now, man.
I mean, if they go with Terry Smith, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'll be upset about it. I don't know. I'm never the promote the interim guy. That's just kind of a belief I have in every situation for college football. I think Gabbo.
If I'm Terry Smith, I'm doing what John said. I'm putting in, I'm making a demand, because I'm saying, look, you could have had me at the beginning, but you waited. This is what I want right here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think whoever is interviewing for the job, even if it is Terry Smith at this juncture, they have the leverage over Penn State and not the other way around. Penn State has lost all their leverage in this situation, in my opinion.
Yeah. And, guys, what do you think about the reports coming out that John Grass might take Mickey Cohn with him when he go to Sanford and the Sweeney boys? That opened up a spot on the coaching staff, especially at the safety position.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a very realistic chance that that is going to happen, if you want me to be honest with you, Delvin. And I think that Coach Grass has done a really good job at Clemson. I'm really excited for this new opportunity for him with an endeavor at Samford and within the Southern Conference. And if he wants to take staff members with him, I think that's kind of a natural cycle of life when it relates to college football, right? You build relationships on a staff. You have guys that are currently in lower positions that want to accelerate their career into a higher role. And if Mickey Cohn wants to take the step up from a positional coach to a coordinator, I think that's a no-brainer for Coach Cohn. Hey,
Brent Venables took people. Tony Elliott took people. Chad Morris took a couple of people. That's part of the game. And, you know, I think that would be if Mickey Cohn wants to call ball plays, that's a good step in the direction for him.
And I think it's good for Will and Drew. If they go, they say he might take them. That'd be good for them to get them, some coaching experience as well.
Yeah, I think it would. If they want to be football coaches for their careers, I could totally see. And especially dad signing off on this, going to work for somebody who isn't dad.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is you need experience at some point that's outside of Clemson. And in a weird way, their name almost works against them, which I know people would push back on, but it's the reality of the situation. People are always going to look at them through a different lens as Dabo's son, and they're not going to be able to view it objectively while they're at Clemson with what the coaching instruction looks like. So the further removed that Will and Drew can get from the Clemson tree, I think the better for the objectivity in relation to what their coaching looks like going forward. And I think getting away from Clemson for a little bit and then maybe coming back one day or going somewhere else, I think it's a great thing for Will and Drew. I mean, Will and Drew are great guys, and I think they know a lot about football, so I'm excited for that opportunity if it does pan out for them at Samford, Delvin. I think that would be a great chance for them.
Yeah. Now, what do you think they mean for the safeties coach if Mickey Cohn leaves? And I'll get you out of there. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it. I think there's going to be a lot of openings on Clemson's coaching staff before this cycle is over, and I think that Dabo Sweeney's going to have to make some replacement calls, and I have no intel or information or inclination as to where he will go, because again, Dabo has an agent. Dabo has an intricate coaching tree that goes, you know, eons down the road with different guys. So I don't know where his brain is at in relation to replacements. And we also need to wait for the news to be final before we can speak on it with confidence.
Right. And a reminder, nothing has been finalized. John Grass is a leading candidate for the Samford job, but he is not the Samford head coach, nor has he hired anybody to join his staff. Really quickly, I need to retract something I just said. John Blau out here doing the work for us this morning. Right after Clemson puts out the tweet about commit Michael Foster, the tweet has been taken down. So I'm not sure what all that is about, but the tweet has been taken down. So I'm sure they're trying to wrap up the details of maybe his announcement and some of his parting of ways with ECU or something along those lines. As information comes down, we will be sure to keep you updated. But as of right now, that post has been taken down from Clemson football.
Interesting. That is very interesting for sure.
Thank you to John Blau for pointing that out.
654 Roar is the number, and shout out to John. But yeah, that's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting to see what transpires. All right, let's take a quick break on the program, put a pin in it. We'll talk a little hoops on the other side, talk a little more college football as well. Ton of text to get to on the other side as well. 654 Roar if you want to get in with us.
The holidays are quickly approaching, and there is no better way to shop for Western and workwear fashion for men, women, and children than at Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney. If you hurry in now, you can save 10% by just mentioning the Roar FM. This excludes firearms. We also carry hunting and fishing clothes, gear, and supplies. With brands like Carhartt, Ariat, Cinch, Wrangler, and many more, you can get everything you need in one stop. Visit today right off I-85 at exit 90 or 92, just down Peachoid Road. Winter weather is upon us, so if you're planning a ski trip, a mountain getaway, or just want to be prepared for what Mother Nature might throw at us, make sure your vehicle is ready with a trip to the Pendleton Tire Company.
Be ready to play in the snow like me and my daddy on a new set of tires for Pendleton Tire Company.
Go see Zach and the team at Pendleton Tire and be ready for winter fun. Call them at 864-646-3694 or visit online at pendletontire.com.
HaysHomeCo.com's the place, plumbing, heat, and air with a friendly face. Electrical, too, they've got your back. Hays Plumbing, Electrical, and HVAC.
When friends and family are coming over to your place for the next big game, everything has to be right. So when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold, white, and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
Danny Ford here for my good friends at Bennett Equipment, who have stood the test of time selling and renting construction equipment for 25 years now. Bennett is one of the top five dealers in the country for Takeuchi compact equipment, and when you deal with Bennett and Takeuchi, you get the quality, dependability, and service you expect and deserve. So call or stop by today and tell them Danny Ford sent you. Take it from me. When you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
Discover exceptional value and reliability at Toyota of Easley, where your satisfaction is our top priority. Whether you're in the market for a sleek sedan, a rugged SUV, or a fuel-efficient hybrid, we've got the perfect vehicle for you. Our friendly team is ready to assist with personalized service and unbeatable offers. Don't miss out on the chance to drive home your dream Toyota. Visit us today at Toyota of Easley and experience the difference.
Bob, you're a Clemson alum just like I am.
That's right, Ginger. I'm glad we struck up a friendship at Everlon Independent Living.
Gosh, yes. Thank goodness we found Everlon. Chef-prepared meals, housekeeping, and a fun schedule of activities like cards, movies, and parties. We can even catch a Tigers game or a show at the Brooks Center.
It's a sweet life, Ginger. Comfort, community, and Clemson pride.
I think we both agree Everlon Independent Living is where we belong.
Yay, Everlon. Go Tigers.
Learn more today at EverlonLiving.com.
This is Leighton Covage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
What do Clemson and the Citadel have in common? The time-honored tradition of the class ring. Collegiate Legacy Designs created a ring plaque that will carry that same tradition in your office or home to last a lifetime. Proudly handcrafted by Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie, Collegiate Legacy Designs offers customized ring plaques for your class ring, both men's and women's, and can ship nationwide. Give the gift that will carry your alumni pride at collegiatelegacydesigns.com.
Kraft Stove Store and Patio is here to help your home stay warm and cozy until spring with over 20 burning displays of vented and vent-free gas logs. Vent-free logs will heat for just pennies an hour and even keep you warm and cozy in the event of a power failure. Kraft Stove Store and Patio even features the Radiant Heating vented gas logs that have a real fire look and radiant heat. Visit Kraft Stove Store and Patio, located on 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Taylors.
Kraft Stove Store and Patio.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Male is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch, not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
From kickoff to the final whistle, your front row seat to college football lives here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Final segment of hour number one on a Wednesday with Faxon Childress and John Hite on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number. We have some breaking news in relation to a P4 head coaching job in the world of college football.
Yes, we have a job opening, and oh, it's already been filled. Kansas State head coach Chris Klieman is set to announce his retirement this week per Merck Sports up there in Kansas, the Mercury Sports, Manhattan Mercury paper up there at Kansas State. Texas A&M offensive coordinator and former Wildcats quarterback and offensive coordinator Colin Klein is lined up to replace him. So Colin Klein is going to be your new head coach at Kansas State.
Ooh, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
A lot to process there.
So is he coaching the playoff? Is he allowed to coach the playoff?
We don't have any of that information at this point in time. I'm sure Lane Kiffin will want to know, is he going to be allowed to coach the playoff or not? I would assume he would be, with being, you know, the OC going to be a head coach. I don't see why there would be a lot of issue there from an A&M perspective. But that news just came out as we went to commercial break. If I see any of that this morning, I will be sure to let you all know. But as of right now, Kansas State head coach Chris Klieman to step down and announce his retirement later this week. And Texas A&M offensive coordinator and former Kansas State quarterback and OC Colin Klein is lined up to be his replacement. So I know that was a big level of anxiety in Kansas about never having the opportunity to get him to be the head coach. Now they don't have to worry about that anymore. He is their head coach.
Well, there you go. Colin Klein, new head coach at Kansas State. Get ready to learn Manhattan, buddy. Harder job than most would think. I think Klein.
Thankfully, he knows it about as well as anybody outside of Bill Stewart. I'm not Bill Stewart, excuse me. He knows that job inside and out. He's arguably one of the best players to ever play at Kansas State. I think this makes so much sense for the Wildcats.
I like the hire. I think it's a good one.
The way that he calls games is perfect for Avery Johnson to try to get something out of the highest rated player they've ever had at Kansas State.
Yeah, you can turn him into Marcel Reed 2.0 or Marcel Reed Light or whatever you would like to call it. Yeah, I like the vision there. I like the vision there for sure. Texter gets in and says, can Clemson afford Lincoln Riley? Dude, come on.
No, but I mean, our Texter's having a bad day today with National Signing Day, so just know he's texting through the fields. It's okay, buddy.
It is okay.
It's all right. We got you.
It is okay. 654 Roar, if you want to check in. We can be here for you. We could be your therapist as well. Lincoln Riley will never be the head coach at Clemson. I can tell you that right now. And I don't say never very often.
If you
program,
don't like his brother, I don't think you're going to like him.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from. But I will say maybe Lincoln's an underrated candidate to job hop this upcoming cycle.
This cycle.
If you're Penn State, would you call Lincoln? I don't think Lincoln would take that.
No, I'd much rather live in Los Angeles than State College, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think I probably
would. With the contract that I'm assuming that he has at a private school at SC and the number one recruiting class, yeah, not a chance.
Yeah, that's more than fair. All right, let's hop into some hoops. 654 Roar is the number. I want to recap the ACC-SEC challenge last night. ACC is back, man. I tried to tell you all in the preseason that this league is good this year. This is an 8-9 bid plus league, and the national pundits are starting to take note of this as well. This is the stat of the night last night that I saw on Twitter. The ACC was 17-52 in regular season games against other major conferences last year. This year, they are already 24-25. They have 7 more wins against Power Conference teams in the non-con this year than they had the entirety of last season. Part of that is more advantageous scheduling. Part of that is more willing scheduling from a lot of these new coaches. But the new kids on the block are taking care of business, and I couldn't be happier about it. We'll start with the nationally ranked Blue Devils and the Gators. Duke takes care of business 67-66. Florida's going to end up being good. I will say this. I really like Todd Golding. Y'all know that we rode that wagon all year last year to a national championship. Boogie Fland is not going to shoot this poorly for forever. Xavier Lee continues to struggle 1 of 10 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. I don't think he forgot how to play basketball overnight, if you want me to be completely honest with you. And Thomas Hawk is also going to continue to play better ball. Florida had a really inspired second half effort. Boozer, 29 points, 6 rebounds. Kid's freaking unbelievable, man. I got nothing else to say about Boozer. Isaiah Evans hits a big time 3 down the stretch to give Duke a 67-66 win for the first win for the ACC. Syracuse, not overly surprised to see them take down the nationally ranked Volunteers with the way that they performed in their MTEs. They took Houston to the wire.
MTEs. What is that for the folks at home?
Okay, MTE for the folks at home.
Folk across the glass here from you.
Yes. So MTE for college basketball is the multi-team event. So it's essentially the tournaments. It's the generalization term for the tournaments that are played with like 8 different teams in it. It's multi-team event. It's nothing reinventing the wheel there. But yeah, so they performed well in their MTEs, in my opinion. Like Houston by 4 is not a bad result. Kansas by 11 is not a bad result. They got popped a little bit by Iowa State in the second half after being down 1 at halftime. But at home in the dome, I think Red Autry's done a pretty good job. Nate George, everybody's favorite. Gosh, couldn't get that kid out of the ACC, seriously. But he didn't play great last night, and they still were able to win. Melo's kid has looked pretty good, and Kai and Anthony. J.J. Starling's a pretty good player. ACC got their second win with Syracuse. One that I got wrong, North Carolina beat Kentucky. I think this has more to do with Kentucky than North Carolina, if you want me to be honest with you. Kentucky is terrible, man. Like, I thought there was going to be some pendulum-swinging moment for this Wildcat squad. Are you serious? Like, are you absolutely serious with this Kentucky team? This is a $20 million roster. This is a $20 million roster that is now 5-3. What is happening? Caleb Wilson, he was 5-19 from the field, but he had a big-time dunk down the stretch to give them the lead. 15 points, 12 boards, 6 assists for Wilson. He looks the part of a top-5 pick. The Tar Heels go on the road and get it done against the Wildcats. I wasn't overly impressed by North Carolina in this one. I came away scratching my head saying, what? What in the world? And Jed says Syracuse was 0-3 at their MTE in the players era. Yeah, but they're playing 2 top 10 teams and 3 top 15 teams, and it's Syracuse basketball coming off like the worst year ever. Taking Houston to overtime, good result. Competitive game against Kansas, good result. Competitive half against Iowa State, good result. Like, you got to take it through the grain of salt and the lens of this is Syracuse playing top 15 teams in the KenPom. So yeah, that was a good result for them in their MTE. Virginia Tech went on the road, beat South Carolina in overtime. South Carolina hung a little bit tougher than I expected them to in this game. Imani Hansberry was the story with 22 points and 14 boards in the front court for Virginia Tech. Again, South Carolina's front court reeks. They don't have anybody outside of their guards that's able to really consistently generate offense for them. Michi Johnson had one of the roughest sequences I've ever seen down the stretch in this one. Hokies take it 86-83 over the Gamecocks. I think Lamont's going to get fired this year. I said this in the preseason as well. Oklahoma on the road at Wake Forest. This one surprised me. I was let down by Wake Forest in this game. I was let down by Wake Forest for sure. Not an ideal scenario for Wake and Steve Forbes. Again, I think this is a do-or-die year for Steve Forbes and Winston-Salem. You make the tournament or you get fired. That's literally the way that I view this. This is not going to be a win that ages or a loss that ages well on their resume come March. An 18-point loss to a probably bottom-5 SEC team. This was really the only quote-unquote disappointing result for the league last night for me, John, was Wake Forest getting popped by Oklahoma. But credit to Porter Moser and his group. They came out and they deserved to win.
They did, most certainly. I am not about to do the bit with Oklahoma basketball again this year.
Oh, no.
I don't have the strength. I don't have the energy. I have a 1-year-old, man. I'm too tired to fight the fight with Oklahoma basketball this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Texas A&M beat Pittsburgh. Again, we mentioned that this was kind of anticipated. Pittsburgh is not very good. It really can be simplified down to that. Don't want to dive too deep into the weeds. Don't think either of those teams are NCAA tournament teams. Miami Told y'all about Miami, man. Jai Lucas can coach. I mean, there's a reason that everybody in the industry respects this guy as one of the rising stars. They are better sooner than anticipated, much better sooner than anticipated. Jai's got a pretty good group, and he knows how to coach and knows how to play, man. 75-66 on the road over Ole Miss. Chris Beard was calling out players in the postgame press conference saying he's going to change the rotation because the effort level is not good enough right now for Ole Miss. Miami wanted this one more, John. That was as simple as I can put it. They wanted it more. They played harder. They played more in unison, and they played more complete as a team. The Hurricanes improved to 7-2 just a year after being one of the worst, if not the worst, P4 basketball team I have ever seen in my life, with Larrañaga jumping ship like four games into the season. You remember last year, that absolute disaster, and they ended up winning like four games the whole year? Well, Miami is back, and it's all about the U this year. I think they're a fringe NCAA tournament team. They got to keep going and keep trucking forward, but really good win for Miami last night on the road in Oxford. Georgia blew the daylights out of Florida State. Oh my gosh.
Still not as big of a margin as the Orange Bowl.
It wasn't, but oh my gosh. 107-73. That's actually.
Can we ever get a competitive sporting event between Georgia and Florida State, please?
This is big bro and little bro. Yeah, talk about a win that I do think is going to end up aging pretty well for Clemson. I think Georgia basketball is good once again this year. I'm expecting Mike White to have this group right back in the tournament. Again, we mentioned Florida State, and my breakdown on this game was Florida State's either going to get blown out or they're going to blow out in every game this year because it's the NBA style. And guess what? They got blown out. So you're going to see lopsided margins with this Florida State team all year. They're going to catch lightning in a bottle for a certain amount of games, and they're going to beat some teams that they're not supposed to, like when they took Florida to the wire. But you're also going to have games like this against Texas A&M and Georgia where you're at an inferior talent deficit, and you're going to get popped. And they gave up 58 points in the second half, John. They gave up 107 points in this game. Leading scorer last night for, again, this Florida State team is just not very good. Their best player is Robert McCray, the Jacksonville transfer from Columbia. Their second best player is Chauncey Wiggins. And given what our text line thinks of Chauncey and his basketball ability, that's just, it is what it is. Y'all don't think he's very good. He hasn't played great ball this year. It is what it is.
Given what your co-host thinks.
Yeah, they got absolutely blown out. The best result of the night for the league, in my opinion, outside of Syracuse, was Notre Dame taking down an 8-0 Missouri squad. I like Dennis Gates a lot at Mizzou. I think he can coach. I think they have a talented roster. Marcus Burton and the guys were just too much last night for Mizzou. Burton goes for 18 with 10 assists, also adds 5 boards. Micah Shrewsbury's kid knocks down a couple big threes, and Notre Dame takes down Missouri 76-71 to cap off a 6-3 night for the ACC in the ACC-SEC Challenge. So there is your recap from day one, and the ACC has already tripled their win total in this challenge from the entirety of last season. Big time. Absolutely big time.
Great there by the ACC. You know, you want some more college football breaking news?
We have more breaking news.
Can I throw some more at you?
Yeah, throw some more at you.
You haven't seen this one yet.
No.
We have a coach that has been hired.
At Penn State?
No. We have a job that Brian Hartline has taken, and it's not Penn State.
Brian Hartline took a head coaching job?
Brian Hartline is now the head coach at the University of South Florida.
Oh, my gosh.
Just announced moments ago, South Florida is replacing Alex Golish with Ohio State offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach Brian Hartline.
I mean,
big hire by South Florida to get him away from Columbus, Ohio.
I'm going to give a couple takes, okay? I actually think that they upgraded, if you want me to be completely honest with you. And I don't have a ton. It's not that I don't believe in Golesh as a coach. I do think that Golesh's resume is getting a little bit stat padded for what he did at South Florida, because three of the premier teams in his conference exited the same year that he took the job. And I understand what he inherited and the way that he was able to turn it around, but I don't know. Like, Auburn's putting out graphics that he's this program builder for going 7-6, 7-6, and 9-3. Am I crazy to think that they might be better next year with Brian Hartline?
Let me see what the personnel looks like.
Yeah.
Let me see where Brian Brown's playing college football. You know what I mean? Like, I need to see some of the personnel involved there before I'm for him there.
Texter says USF's going to be wide receiver U. Yeah, that's the way thing. And especially, dude, you got the Tampa pipeline right there. How many great receivers have come out of Tampa in that area in Florida? And now you have the premier wide receiver development coach in the country as the head coach.
Oh, and they're going to be the first G5 team to fully fund NIL, rev share, all that jazz.
Ton of money.
Oh, and they're building a stadium.
ton of money down there at South Florida. I think that's a really good job right now for Brian Hartline. So, yeah. And you talk about a stepping stone job, too. Golesh has proven that that can be the leapfrog to P4. I bet Hartline's not there very long. Let's talk about that after a quick break. That's very, very fascinating stuff with Hartline on the road to Tampa, Florida. Facts and Children's John Hyde continuing on the program right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Cigars, cigars, cigars.